This is an ABC podcast.
As a person who these days lives in the city, you just stand in admiration for how these small communities do this. They do it very well. They think about each other, they care for each other, they're very locked together. But it's something that they have in regional Australia that, in my view, they don't have in big cities.
Shortly, we'll look at the ongoing community effort in regional Queensland to support those affected by recent flood events. And it actually is rocket science, but so much more. The program getting regional children interested in STEM careers.
Our regions, just as much as our metropolitan areas, sometimes perhaps even more, will actually depend on our kids pursuing more of these STEM careers than they have to date, whether we're thinking about, you know, automating our farming operations or cattle stations.
I'm Alex Hyman and this is Australia Wide. Firstly, on this Australia Day, a story of Australians supporting each other. The raging floodwaters have gone, but farmers in regional Queensland are still receiving calls about their cattle being discovered on properties far away. Last week, the North Burnett community came together at the Biggenden Showgrounds for the first time since the devastating flood event 2 weeks ago. It has been a testing time over the past fortnight. Jake Kiernan joined the barbecue where the community took a moment to reflect on the disaster and praise the efforts of neighbours and the wider community.
From years of drought to 600 millimetres of rain falling within 24 hours, causing horrific flooding, and with the clean-up of dead livestock and wrecked fence lines well underway, the huge impact of the disastrous flood is becoming clear. Some North Burnett cattle producers are still receiving phone calls from neighbours as far as 6 kilometres downstream that their livestock have washed up at their properties. Michael and Kerry Dixon live on Munna Creek at Browena. They say they have experienced losses.
Lost 9 sheep, 4 cows, 2 calves.
And the sheep, they were potties, so they were really, they're my babies.
The rain came down in an instant. Have you ever seen anything like that before?
We got up at 3:30 and raced out when we realised it was flooded. And we could see the whole sheep paddock was under, but we could see their heads above water. And then they just got washed away and we had to watch them.
Vicky was saying you were able to recover some of the cattle a little bit downstream.
Yeah, we got the 4 cows and calves back eventually.
Thanks to our neighbours, they're amazing. They've all helped. Well, we all lost cattle, some of us. One of our neighbours, I think, has still lost about 30. But cattle float, sheep don't. So luckily a lot of cattle get found alive.
And comes after plenty of sweat and tears were spent dealing with the damage in the recovery phase. Blaze Aid coordinator Ron Murphy says coming together as a community is important in times of crisis.
It's very important. Well, first up, we need to meet them so that we know how to help them. So bringing them all together, it's good for them because they get to talk about their problems with each other. It's good for us. We get to know who they are and what we can do to help them, plus, you know, they register for work. The important thing to remember is that we only help people who ask for help.
And that's the thing, I guess it's quite hard at times to reach out and say, I do need help. Do you find people are reluctant to come and receive that help?
Oh, look, farmers are very private, proud people, and, it's very, very difficult for them, and we find that it will usually be 2-3 years later on when they finally realise they do need help and they can't afford to do it. And that's one of our big worries. Even though we help with the fencing, our main aim is to help with their mental health.
Sounds like they're very thankful Blaze Aids here in Biggenden.
Yeah, I think they really are. And I'm amazed at how much they've managed to do on their own, considering how bad it was. So if we can help and do a bit more, that'd be wonderful.
Rural lobby group AgForce is a loss, encouraging communication following the flood event. CEO Michael Guerin says it is really important.
When people are a little fragile after a big event like this, you know, getting online, finding the forms in the normal way is pretty hard. Having conversations with people where you can pass on the emotion, share the concerns, that's really important. So they're the two pieces. So recognising that they need to talk and then putting in front of them the people they can talk to when they're ready to take the next steps.
And I guess a lot of that will be happening at tonight's barbecue as well. How important is the barbecue going to be for, you know, it's probably the first opportunity a lot of our community can come together and meet and discuss how they were impacted.
Yep.
And what's tonight going to mean for the community?
Yeah. I think everything is my view as an outsider looking in. So when it happened, like everybody, AgForce members were worried about personal safety, family and friends, etc. first. Then they got through that. They know how everybody is. They have an understanding of what's on their property, which in some cases is horrific. And now they want to get together and talk. So tonight is really important. It's what members in the community have asked for. And the reason AgForce is involved is because the AgForce members said, let's get together the rest of the community, blaze aid tonight, put on some barbecues, just provide a chance for people to have a conversation, get out of the home, get out of the property, realise others have been impacted as well, share that those stories and think about the recovery. So very, very important.
And as devastating as some of these events can be, hearing a lot of stories about communities just banding together, how important is that in times of crisis?
Yeah. Well, as a person who these days lives in the city, you just stand in admiration for how these small communities do this. They do it very well. They think about each other, they care for each other. They're very locked together, interwoven. You see it. We see it in our membership. We see it in the communities. The support that's been rallied around these events that we're putting together is just one example of it. But it's something that they have in regional Australia that, in my view, they don't have in the big cities.
That's AgForce CEO Michael Guerin finishing that report by Jake Kiernan. And if this story raises any issues for you, remember you can call Lifeline 13 11 14.
You're listening to Australia Wide. On ABC Radio.
And you are with me, Alex Hyman. It's great to have your company. The idea of working in the space industry may sound a little far-fetched for kids growing up in regional Queensland, but a new program is helping them reach for the stars by smashing misconceptions about working in the industry and encouraging them to look at STEM careers a little differently. Some Central Queensland school students spent their school holidays learning engineering basics to build model rockets, moon rovers, and other space exploration equipment. Rockhampton reporter Michelle Gately went along to see what the kids were up to.
Well, we've been making Lego rockets and using like motors to make them move and trying to see will they work or will they not.
Aria Caton is one of the Rockhampton Primary School students at the Young Engineers program at CQ University. The program runs in the school holidays with varying themes. This time the focus was space. A big draw card for another participant, Ty Mitchell, who already has dreams of working in the space industry.
We live for science and math and space.
So what would you like to do when you're older?
Either an astrophysicist, a scientist, a math teacher or a sailor. Or a violinist.
It's a unique combination of play and science that program coordinator Pavle Jerick hopes will make career options in science, technology, engineering and mathematics, collectively known as the STEM industries, more accessible and desirable for regional kids.
So a lot of kids, when you ask them, when you imagine what sort of job can you have in space or in the space business, mostly they're thinking about being an astronaut. But then we break that down into what are the other things that they can do and what sort of engineering skills, science skills, and the range of careers and opportunities they can have to engage with the space industry, which is somewhere in excess of $370 billion a year. And in particular, we looked at what are some of the things you can do as an Australian or as a Queenslander.
But it's not just about inspiring kids to join the space industry. The program aims to introduce children to the broad spectrum of STEM careers at an early age, something Mr. Jerick says will be vital in creating the skilled workforce of the future in regional Queensland. end.
They may conceptualize a career in STEM as a sort of, you know, scientist, a chemist wearing a white lab coat, manipulating some sort of chemical equipment, which is a sort of mental image people have of a scientist. But there is a huge range of career opportunities that they can pursue, some that are far more on the engineering side, some more on the science side, but some very artistic and so on. So we try to make sure that we cover that in our workshops, and Lego and gameplay is a very good way of getting them to gain some confidence about some of the potential careers and areas of science.
How important is it to you that programs like this be available to regional and hopefully rural communities?
Very important, but for one reason, you know, I'm also a parent of a child living in regional areas, and having lived before in a metropolitan area, I didn't want our local kids to miss out on any opportunities to explore some of the things that may be an interest or a passion for them down the road. So it is very important that we do offer these programs here, so as to make sure that our kids don't lose out on any of those opportunities. And also because our regions, just as much as our metropolitan areas, sometimes perhaps even more, will actually depend on our kids pursuing more of these STEM careers than they have to date, whether we're thinking about, you know, automating our farming operations or our cattle stations or anything to do with hydrogen production, which is, of course, something we talk about in our regions, logistics and transportation. So every aspect of our economy going forward will require people to be far more willing to take up STEM careers and to be more scientifically literate in a more general sense.
The school holiday camps now run in Rockhampton, Bundaberg, Mackay and Gladstone, with several local schools continuing activities during the term as well. This means smaller schools that can't offer extra dedicated engineering or STEM classes outside the standard curriculum can integrate this interactive learning into their regular classes. It's something Mr. Jerrick hopes will continue expanding, with new schools being added and each holiday camp attracting new students along with familiar faces.
STEM does stand for more than just science, and there's a range of ways that kids can express themselves while playing and learning, and there's a whole range of literacy, numeracy and other skills that you can embed throughout this sort of curriculum. So it doesn't have to be compartmentalized as we traditionally do in the education setting, but far more holistic and integrated, which kids react to quite well.
And do you think this sort of program is going to be key to helping boost STEM jobs in the future?
Well, I certainly hope so. But ultimately, it's about making sure that at a young age, children don't get locked into certain preconceptions of what it means to be a scientist, what it means to be an engineer, what it takes to do any of those jobs or any of those careers, and to pursue that as a passion going forward.
That's Pavle Jerrick ending that report from Michelle Gately in Rockhampton.
This is ABC Australia Wide.
The town of Wakery in South Australia's Riverland sits just off the main highway into Adelaide from the east, and locals are hoping a new feature film will give people a reason to stop by. An Australian production set along the Murray River is set to be filmed around the area in the coming months, with talent from titles like Succession and The Handmaid's Tale leading the way. And locals are hoping it will bring an economic boost. Our Remmark reporter Victor Petrovich has the story.
I'll take my money. 5 years' time, I'd like to be free of this company and the Roy name.
South Australian actress Sarah Snook is best known for her portrayal of Shiv Roy in the American drama series Succession. But she now has an opportunity to showcase her home state on the big screen. Miss Snook is set to star in the $8 million feature film Run Rabbit Run, which will be shooting around the town of Wakery, about 2 hours northeast of Adelaide. Novelist Hannah Kent wrote the screenplay with the state's Riverland region in mind, and the producers hope they can capture the picturesque Murray River landscapes when they arrive to film in February and March.
The film's been written for quite a while. It was written by a lady called Hannah Kent, who's actually a South Australian, and she decided to base one of the characters up around this region, and a lot of the filming centres around a farmhouse that the mother and or the granddaughter in the film basically lived in.
John Green is the film's location supervisor, who scouted out spots around Wakery and Swan Reach to stage the story, a thriller which centres around Miss Snook's relationship with her daughter, who is exhibiting increasingly strange behaviour.
So we had to find a location that we could dress above some of the high cliffs of the Murray River, and there was also a number of other areas written in that showed off this particular region, which is fantastic.
While Mr. Green says there will be local contractors gaining work, there won't be much of an opportunity for locals to get their faces on screen.
Unfortunately, this film doesn't have many extras. Usually that's a way that you can involve locals. And look, our spend, I think, in the area, I know just on accommodation alone over the 2 or 3 weeks from sort of mid-February through to early March will be probably a couple of $100,000 just on accommodation. So you can add all the rest in and it doesn't take much to work out that it's a fairly significant spend in a short time frame. So we look forward to boosting the region and helping out a bit.
Paul McCormick is the deputy chairperson of the Riverland West Chamber of Commerce and says the money the production will be spending on accommodation and food is the most he's seen spent in Wakery in recent times.
There's approximately 60 crew and cast coming through the Riverland West and Wakery in particular, and having spoken to people from the production company a little bit earlier, they're actually predicting about $200,000 to $300,000 will be spent in the region over the time of filming. So that's a huge economic boost to the Riverland West region and to Wakery.
Mr McCormick says it won't just be the short-term spending in Wakery, but the exposure gained from the film that should bring ongoing stimulus to the town.
Be a fantastic thing for Wakery. The film will be going out to a worldwide audience, so it'll be showcasing not only Wakery, but the whole Riverland West and the whole Riverland region. So it's a great opportunity, not just for Wakery itself, but for the whole of the Riverland to be showcased on an international scale. And when the film comes out, hopefully some restrictions will be lifted and people all around the world will be able to see our fantastic, beautiful part of the world, and they'll come over here and visit.
The local Loxton Wakery District Council thinks the community are on board too. After polling their social media followers about the closure of a local pool for the production, they received 97% yes votes.
We had a fantastic response. So the post itself actually had a reach of well over 3,000 people. So that's, you know, been really good and really positive.
That was the CEO of the council, David Beaton. He hopes the film will give a reason for travellers to turn off the Sturt Highway, which connects Adelaide to New South Wales and Victoria, and come and check out the local scenery.
One of the things with Wakery, it's a beautiful town, but because the highway sort of doesn't go through the town, you know, I suppose if it gets a bit more notoriety, it's a good reason for people to go and have a look at the town and see how pretty it is and engage with the locals and, you know, have a coffee or a meal and enjoy the local ambience.
That's the CEO of the Loxton Wakery District Council, David Beaton, ending that report by our reporter, Victor Petrovich.
ABC Australia Wide.
To Tasmania now. Farming on the land can be challenging at the best of times. Last year brought soaring land prices, mice plagues in the east and bushfires in the west. But what if you could farm food right next to the people who eat it? David Barnett-Clement with this report from Tasmania.
Behind the doors of a shipping container in the heart of a capital city, 2 acres worth of produce is being grown in a little over 100 square metres.
So my name is Peter Handy. I'm the owner of a controlled environment growing unit called Vertical Pastures, and we can grow lettuces, leafy greens, Asian greens, herbs, some root vegetables and some flowering plants as well. Yeah.
And we're down by the waterfront in Battery Point in Hobart, about as far away from a farm as you can get in Tasmania. Why choose this location?
I know, it's really funny because when people say to me, oh, where's your business? Where's your farm? Because I call it the farm, that's what it is. I'll say it's in Battery Point. They go, they look perplexed and they're like, no, there's no farms in Battery Point. Yeah, I've got a farm in Battery Point. It's right on the waterfront. You should come and have a look sometime. It's really cool. So it's here because I need to be as close to my clients and my customers, the chefs and restaurants of Hobart. I aim to use the least amount of food miles as possible and make this a super efficient and lean business. So even looking to do my deliveries on a bicycle or on an electric bike, maybe.
The farm was designed and built by an American company and bought off the shelf. It's one of a growing number of urban farms in Australia.
And it's all pre-manufactured. It is a shipping container, so it itself is its own packaging. It came here on a ship. It took about 3 months to get out here. And when it comes, you just unpack it all and there's not much to put together. Technically, you're supposed to just plug it in and plug it into the water, plug it in electricity and go. I had a little bit of difficulty here because it wasn't set up for Australian electrical standards, so I had to get that done. And so, yeah, so it is pretty much plug and play.
You've got 2 acres worth of production fitted into a 40-foot container. Are you going to get another one?
that's the dream. Look, in the US, they've got them stacked on top of each other, so you've got the minimal footprint. But, yeah, that is the dream. Another one.
How many people do you think walk down into this shipyard and think, oh, yeah, there's a farm in the corner?
They'd have absolutely no idea. No.
And this type of efficient farming is exactly what we'll need in the future, according to science writer Julian Cribb.
I've published 5 books dealing with the human existential emergency that is now affecting us all.
And I guess, can you introduce me to your most recent book on this topic, Food or War?
Yeah, Food or War is the second book I've written about the looming world food crisis. Basically, it says that we have a big food problem coming because the combination of loss of water, loss of topsoil, climate change, and overuse of poisons is going to more or less scupper the agriculture that we know and love by the middle of this century. So we're going to have to change the nature of the way we produce food.
And one of these new forms of agriculture, according to Julian Cribb, is urban farming. Not only are you producing food in proximity to the people who eat it, but humans themselves produce a lot of fertile waste.
Well, basically, all the food that flows through the world's cities, you know, is being gathered from thousands of kilometres away. People are consuming it or wasting it, and the nutrients from that food are either going down the sewer pipe or they're going into the garbage tip. All that nitrogen, phosphorus, potash, and micronutrients is being trashed. Now, that can't go on if we are to have a viable civilization.
That story from David Barnett Clement in Hobart. And you can see more on that story on the ABC News website. And finally, on this Australia Day, thanks to the work of Australia's newly named local hero, countless people in the bush have reassessed their relationship with alcohol. Shana Wan is the founder of the grassroots charity Sober in the Country, helping those in remote areas struggling with addiction. You may remember Shana from her incredible Australian story on ABC TV a few years ago. We spoke to her here on Australia Wide at the time. Here's some of her acceptance speech last night.
Life in rural Australia is permanent ISO. We've always got plenty of beers in the fridge, but we've never really got enough services or support close by. That was my reality, and that's the reality of the people I'm fighting for. And rural people are worth fighting for because they get up and they show up in fire and flood and droughts and plagues and pandemics, and they put food on the nation's table. So the least we can do as a nation is make sure that they're getting support when they look for it.
That's Shana Wan from northeast New South Wales accepting her local hero award overnight. She spoke more about what was going through her mind at the time to ABC News Breakfast this morning.
It was so ridiculously overwhelming and humbling and mind-boggling and stupefying. I was such an emotional wreck. But you know what? All of those things aside, I believe this conversation is worth this award and more. It's not really about me. Again, that's a cliche, but I was like, yeah, it's time. It is time for this, you know? So a huge amount of relief that this is finally getting the attention it deserves as a topic. And look, I grew up in a really booze-fueled culture in which the standard response when a fella said no thanks to a beer was, come on, you can't trust a guy who says no to a beer. And it's tongue-in-cheek. I get that. We all know that. But it's such a cultural saturation of it's alcohol or nothing, and what that does is creates an expectation that if people aren't drinking, it's not okay. And so we're flipping that on its head and saying, go for your life. If you can enjoy a few beers, that's great. My husband drinks beer. He loves a beer. I can't. I don't. And it's okay. And so that was really what gave us the inspiration to come up with the Okay to Say No campaign, because we don't ever want to threaten someone's God-given right to have a beer in the bush. You should have seen what was happening on social media last night and the requests and the need. The need out there is beyond anything we could ever hope to meet. You know, so we're the conduit. We're the voice. We are the driver. We're not the solution. We can't do all of those things. But we have a beautiful, beautiful peer support group. And with more awareness and more funding and more people, we can just help more people, you know? We can just save lives. It's so simple. We need more help, but we'll keep doing what we can with what we have until others step up and in and around us. And I suspect this award will really help us to keep helping more people.
That's Australia's local hero for 2022, Shana Wan from Country New South Wales, Maules Creek in the state's northwest. She's the founder of Sober in the Country, and you can always watch Shana's Australian Story episode back online and read more about her win on the ABC News website. And that is Australia Wide for this Australia Day. I look forward to your company tomorrow. I'm Alex Hyman. Have a great evening. Cheerio.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.